B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Scott Stapp is my guest today on Talkin' Rock. We talk about the new record, The Space in Between Shadows, which drops in July, and his first single, The Purpose for Pain.
I got to a place numerous times over the last 10 or 15 years where I had to dig deep, man, and really hold on and find a way to get to the other side of whatever struggle.
We discuss his sobriety and how music cares played a part. He also goes back and talks about how him and Mark Tremonti had this great chemistry when writing songs for Creed.
It's undeniable that Tremonti and I have a special chemistry and writing relationship.
Scott Stapp seems to get a bad rap. I ask him about that. We talk about his Arms Wide Open Foundation, as well as the Florida Music Hall of Fame he was inducted to in 2018. And oh yeah, if Creed ever gets back together.
You know, if there's any news on that front, you will be the first I call.
That and more with Scott Stapp today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Hey guys, thanks so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. I do appreciate it. Scott Stapp is on today, like I mentioned, and of course, like you've probably read on the description. But after Scott Stapp, I'll talk with Al Beck for Rock News. And Rock News say about the guys from the Rolling Stones. Tool, once again, another outstanding April Fool's Day prank, as well as The Dirt from Motley Crue. That soundtrack entering the top Billboard charts. We'll tell you about that. The Hologram with Ronnie James Dio. Would you go see that show? And also this 3D vinyl with Ozzy sounds really cool. So we'll talk about that stuff coming up here in just a bit. But first, Scott Stapp, like I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, it's one of those things where I interviewed these guys right after My Own Prison came out. I mean, that song was brand new on the radio. The guys were, you know, super wide-eyed. I talked to them outside a bar on the street, on the sidewalk, on one of their very first tours. And man, it's a crazy world. We've come this far in 2019, and Scott's out doing his own thing. The Space Between the Shadows drops in July. He's doing a tour. You can check out his website, which is in the description here of the show, for a tour stop near you. So lots of stuff to talk about and discuss with Scott Stapp today. So hope you guys dig this. I did ask him why he thinks he gets a bad rap. You know, every time I've been around Scott Stapp, he's always been pretty cool. And then you read about all this stuff online and different things like that. And trust me, I have friends that have had working relationships with him, and they've told me some horror stories, but I've always felt he's been pretty cool to me. So I did talk about that. We talk about his foundations and the whole thing. It's Scott Stapp today on the Talkin' Rock podcast.
Hey, things are good, man. How you doing?
Good. I was just thinking about this right before you called. The first time I interviewed you guys was with when you were with the Creed, obviously. And I think you guys were standing outside the bar in Pontiac, Michigan, all four of you. Do you remember that?
I don't remember specifically, but I do remember, man, that your station has supported my career, man, for over 20 years. I'm very grateful to you guys.
Yeah, I think the first single was only out, and you guys were pretty excited to be out on the road and touring and stuff. And next thing you know, I'm standing outside the bar, just you and your bandmates and me, and just talking. So it's kind of weird how things have gone all these years later in 2019. You got a full schedule of stuff going on this year as well, don't you?
Yeah, man, busy year. Excited about it.
Yeah, you got a lot of tour dates coming through St. Andrews here in Detroit on June 27th with your new project here. The Space Between Shadows is the record, which drops in July. Explain that title.
Well, I tell you, man, I came up with that title when I got to the end of the record. It's actually a lyric from one of the songs on the record called Name. I think it really kind of symbolized the entire record, in a sense that what is the space between shadows? It's light. And, you know, 5 years ago, you know, I went through a difficult time and finally found sobriety. And I think over the last 5 years, I found that space. And I dig deep and talk about all the elements of getting to that place. And I'm very introspective on this record, and as well as staying true and bringing it rock.
Yeah, I was going to say the song Purpose for Pain obviously sounds very biographical, right?
Well, it definitely has some biographical elements to it, most definitely. You know, I got to a place numerous times over the last 10 or 15 years where I had to dig deep, man, and really hold on and find a way to get to the other side of whatever struggle or whatever pain I was personally dealing with in my life. And you know, 5 years ago, I reached that place again. And you know, I found that in the midst of that if I just focused on getting to the other side and found a purpose waiting for me there, which was for me, hey, man, if you can get to the other side of this, if you can stay strong, dig deep, then maybe you can help someone else going through the same situation when you get to the other side. And that was one of two or three things that kept giving me hope to get to the other side. And then 5 years later, you know, here I am sober, new record, new label, video coming out April 9th, a whole nother slew of tour dates. And so there is hope on the other side, my brother.
Now, I don't live the life you've lived, obviously. You know, I'm just a radio guy here in Detroit, and you've traveled the world with bands and music and whatnot. So how much of that stuff of being like the star and the spotlight on that stage maybe contributed to your alcoholism or whatever it was? And how much of your family life kind of helped you with getting sober?
Well, I tell you, I mean, my wife and my kids were critical. And helping me getting sober. I mean, it got to the point where it was either get sober or lose my wife and kids, man. And that's about the lowest rock bottom that I could possibly have gotten to. So they were critical. You know, to answer the first part of your question, you know, definitely the rock and roll machine and the rock and roll lifestyle, you know, contributed to me. You know, going down that wrong path, man. You know, I just had so much in front of me, and being so naive, walking into it, I just didn't know how to handle it. And it got a hold of me. And around the same time, I had my first onset of depression. And you combine that with self-medicating, with alcohol, and whatever else you can find, and it's a bad scenario, man. And it took me years to really find out what was going on and to get to the other side of it, man. And it's so nice to be 5 years on the other side of a wild ride.
Yeah. I think I read somewhere that explain this to me now. Music Care has kind of helped you out a little bit at the beginning as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and thank God for that organization that's there for artists and musicians and everyone involved in the music industry. You know, of course, my wife, you know, has been my rock through all of this. And without her, I wouldn't have even gotten through or gotten the message that Music Cares was reaching out to help. But they contacted her and with my wife and Music Cares, you know, helped get me into a place that could help me work through what I was going through and figure out how to live a life where it would never happen again, man, and I could stay sober.
Yeah. Now, did you know, like, you knew Chester Bennington and Chris Cornell and guys like that, right?
We crossed paths, man, over the years, yes.
Yeah, because, if I'm not mistaken, didn't the Linkin Park guys had a big part in that Music Cares, too, if I'm not mistaken? I mean, I could be totally wrong.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe Music Cares had been involved with them as well, yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about this record, the Space Between Shadows, and like, who's playing on the record and stuff?
Well, on the first single, Purpose for Pain, I actually wrote that song with a good buddy of mine, Kay Thrash from Escape the Fate, when he found out that I was getting ready to start writing a new record. He reached out to me and said, dude, I got a riff I want you to hear. And I heard the intro riff, and I was like, dude, I love it. I've got some lyrics and stuff that I want to get together with you and finish this song, write a song. And I was headed out to L.A. The following weekend, and we got together, man, and banged that song out in like 2 hours. In the third hour, had tracked it, and the process had begun. And so with that particular song, It was Kay Thrasher and myself. And the rest of the record I wrote and recorded with my producers, Marty Fredrickson and Scott Stevens, two amazingly talented guys who I've worked with before on my previous solo album. And, you know, and we got together and this time did it all together.
Hmm. And so then what band will you tour with when you go on a tour this year?
The same band that I've been touring with now for about 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there any songs like in the past, like with Creed and stuff, that came together as fast as Purpose for Pain?
Oh, absolutely, man. Quite a few. One in particular that just first comes to mind was Arms Wide Open. I mean, that song was literally written in 15 minutes at soundcheck. Hmm. I heard Mark doodling on guitar, you know, before we started soundcheck, and I loved what he was playing, and I ran inside and said, "Keep playing that, man. Just play that picking part over and over again." And then I just started singing the song, and the words just came, and the song came together right there. We've had other ones. Say I came together at soundcheck that quick. You know, Higher came together that quick. My Sacrifice came together that quick. So, you know, when you got chemistry like that with somebody, which, you know, Mark Tremonti and I have tremendous creative chemistry together, you know, the songwriting doesn't seem like much of a challenge. Things just kind of fall into place.
That is amazing. Those songs you just listed, I mean, are bona fide hits, and they just came together so simple like that.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, it's undeniable that Tremonti and I have a special chemistry and writing relationship.
Yeah, when was the last time you talked to him?
Oh, man, probably a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I love those guys and always love my brothers in Creed. And we're all busy working on our other projects and passionate about those projects. And I'm so passionate about this new record and this new single, and can't wait to get to Detroit and share it with the fans there.
Yeah, you talk about Arms Wide Open. I remember playing that song when it was brand new on the radio. So that was about your son at the time. So he's got to be 22, 23 years old, something like that?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Man, it's crazy how fast the years go by.
And then you got some little ones too, don't you?
Yeah, I've got three more at home right now. I've got a 12-year-old little girl named Milan. An 8-year-old son named Daniel, and a 15-month-old son named Anthony.
Man, Dad, you guys...
So I've got a lot of baby shark going on, a lot of Elmo and Barney. So it's crazy, man, but I love it.
Now my kids are 16 and 18 and stuff. Is there a little part of you inside that maybe you'd want your kids that are growing up now, your 8 and 12 year old stuff, to see your dad play with Creed or no?
You know, my daughter was around to see me play with Creed in 2012.
Hmm, okay.
But if there's any news on that front, you will be the first I call.
I appreciate that.
They just love seeing their daddy play now. So it's always awesome to have them at the shows.
Yeah, I remember you came here a couple years ago, I think around 2009 or something. You guys were doing an acoustic tour at the radio station, and I don't know if you remember this, but my friends Brian Smolinski and Joe Koester were here, and they played in the NHL and whatnot, and Joey actually used one of the songs to pump up the Red Wings when he was doing videography for the band, and then they went on to win the Stanley Cup. Do you remember that?
That is awesome, man. Yeah, I do remember playing with you guys. That's awesome, though, to hear. Cool.
Yeah, and it's like, I've always been around you, and you've always been nothing but, you know, pleasant to be around and a super good dude and stuff. And sometimes I think that you just get such a bad rap. Do you feel that?
When I was drinking, man, I can't put the blame on anybody else. I brought that stuff on myself. And so it's good to be on the other side of that now and you know, one day at a time, not have to worry about doing that again.
Yeah. And congratulations. You talked about with Arms Wide Open. You got your Arms Wide Open Foundation, which helps all sorts of people, eh?
Yeah, man, I started that in 1998, and it was originally started to help children and families in need, and to provide food and clothing and emergency assistance to those families and kids who needed it. And it's evolved over time because of my life experiences. And now we help those suffering with mental health and addiction and alcoholism issues, and work with vets and soldiers, and so it's really come a long way over the years.
And then like our friend Kid Rock here in Detroit, how important is it for you to be a success and be a success at home? I know you were voted into the Florida Music Hall of Fame in 2018. Talk about the importance of that.
I mean, to be honest with you, the most important thing in my world and in my universe is being a good husband and a good father, man. All those other things, of course, I'm humbled and appreciative to it. But that's the number one thing in my life. And I let the rest take care of itself just by pouring my heart and soul into everything that I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, The Space Between Shadows comes out in July, and of course, you got this tour, Purpose for Pain, man. That song's a burner, man.
Thank you, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, congratulations on the 5 years of sobriety, Scott, and we'll see you on this tour and stuff. And as always, thanks for the time.
Hey, thank you guys so much, man. Love the riff. Appreciate you.
Thanks, brother.
All right, take care.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There you go, Al. I don't know if you realize this or not, but if Creed ever gets back together, I'm the first one.
You're the first call.
I am the first call, so yeah. There you go.
Do you believe it?
What was the old line from Caddyshack?
Oh, yeah.
So on my deathbed, I'll regain a full consciousness.
Yeah. You'll hear it here first.
That's right. Yeah. So there you go. Scott Stapp, his new stuff is coming out, like I said, in July, and The Space Between Shadows. So there you go with that. Al Beck joins me. A lot of rock news going on this week.
Yeah.
And some of it not real and some of it is real. But let's start with Mick Jagger.
Yeah, well, he was mysteriously, the Rolling Stones had to cancel some tour dates, and it had come out that Mick Jagger had some health problems. We've got a few more answers on that. He has to undergo some surgery to have a heart valve replaced, which is kind of some scary stuff, obviously having heart surgery, but they are saying he is expected to make a full recovery, and they're even planning on playing some of those shows. They're just not sure when exactly they'll get back to him.
This is one of those things where I'm just like, I'm just thinking Keith Richards off to the side. Hey, Mick, good luck with that heart surgery.
Right,
as he's smoking and drinking.
Yeah, I know.
Keith Richards.
Yeah, no kidding. But 75 years old Mick Jagger undergoing some heart surgery. But like I said, expect to make a full recovery.
Yeah, I think he'll be back and he'll be just fine. He's going to be one of those guys that lives to be like 100 or something.
Yeah.
And then
still be playing shows.
And Keith will be at his funeral smoking and drinking.
Yeah, with another 70 years left on his odometer.
That's right. So Tool, I mean, these guys are really the master of April Fool's Day jokes. I think they do the same thing every year because we're waiting for new Tool every single year.
Since 2006 it's been since we got an album, but they posted a YouTube video on their Twitter account. Yesterday was April Fool's Day when we record this, and it was just crickets.
Yeah.
Literally the sounds of crickets in the night. And of course, a bunch of Tool fans really excited, looking forward to an announcement. And some of the reactions was even somebody going like, I saw this, I knew it was fake, but I thought maybe the April Fool on the April Fool would there be a hidden announcement. But it's like 37 minutes of just crickets.
Well, then, yeah, that's right. Then, of course, and the crickets, by the way, were very prog crickets,
they're
perfectly timed. It's one of those things too where it's like 37 minutes. Could there be something hidden in here, like at the 20 minute mark or something? You gotta listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. As it turns out, nope.
Yeah, your wife comes home, honey, why is there crickets coming through your stereo speakers? Well,
right.
You never know.
Yeah, shut up, I don't want to miss it. He's on his 32nd minute.
Yeah, it's like the last podcast where listening to supposedly Corey Taylor singing something.
Oh yeah, that vocal Tool tease for Slipknot. Yeah, there's something in there.
We'll see what happens with that. But yeah, Tool, you know, Maynard said a couple, what was it, like a month or so ago, maybe May or June.
Yeah.
So you didn't say what year. That could be the thing.
Yeah, that's true. But
2024, we don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. But hey, as we learned from Kirk Hammett, they're working on artwork.
That's right, artwork.
That was the latest update we got, was from Kirk Hammett.
Very important stuff. Yeah, he's become their PR person.
Yeah, evidently.
No doubt about that. But so anyways, yeah, Tool, we'll see what happens though with that. Also, you know, you got to give it to the guys from Motley Crue. Their days of touring are over. I mean, with the exception of Vince doing his solo stuff. And I don't think Tommy's really done anything. Mick hasn't really done anything either. Nikki's got, of course, 6 a.m. and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they said they're not going to tour anymore.
At least not as Motley Crue. As you're kind of pointing out, they've got other stuff to do.
Right. But the Dirt soundtrack entered the top 10. I guess they sold, what, like 30,000 units? And half of those were physical copies.
Yeah, something like that. But it's the first time since the last album that they put out that they hit the number 10. They debuted at number 10 with the Dirt soundtrack. So like you said, there actually is some new music on there as well if you want to check it out. And the Dirt is available to stream on Netflix already.
Yeah, I think there's, what, 4 new songs?
Yeah. Well,
and then the cover of the Madonna song, which I just can't get into, man. I'm sorry. It's not happening for me. Like when Typo Negative covers Summer Breeze, you know, that I can actually stomach.
Right,
I mean, that was like, they really made that theirs. I don't know, like a virgin for a band like Motley Crue to be singing?
But this does mark the first time Motley Crue has appeared on the Billboard 200 Top 10 since the release of their 2008 studio album, Saints of Los Angeles, which actually that one debuted at number 4.
Hmm. Okay. All right, so moving on, we got Ronnie James Dio, and I was just trying to think about this, the hologram thing. Did we talk to, I think Vivian Campbell. Was it Vivian Campbell? I don't know, man. If we talked to so many people, but somebody I asked about the hologram thing, and I guess they kind of put this video up, and I've seen stuff like this before.
Yeah.
But let's take a little listen to this. There's, you know, it's like, it's almost like, do you remember Guitar Hero?
Yeah,
it's kind of a better version of that.
Yeah, I can see where you're going with that. Yeah. But they did just release this trailer that we just kind of watched a glimpse of here together. And most of the trailer is still images of Ronnie James Dio and some music. But then towards the end of it, you do actually see the hologram in action, which, don't get me wrong, looks spectacular. But it still kind of creeps me out a little bit, man.
Yeah.
It really does. It's because it does look more than just a video of Ronnie. Like, you can tell that's a hologram.
Yeah. And it does kind of flash a little bit every now and then, like kind of like the from Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but I tell you what, we'll put a link in the description of the show so you can check it out for yourself and see what you think about the Ronnie Dio thing.
Yeah.
You know, being old that I am, I've had a chance to see these bands live. And, you know, it's like, you know, I think I got 20 years on you. And it's like, you know, I forget. Yeah, the guy next to me never got a chance to see Pantera play live. You know?
I never got to see Pantera. Yeah, I never got to see Nirvana. You know,
you're the guy next to me talking about.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. You know what's funny? I never saw Nirvana either. I don't know. I wasn't really sure if I was really into them. And then all of a sudden, Kurt Cobain died. So.
Yeah. I would love to have seen them. But, I mean, I don't know. I think I would have to go to a hologram show to really decide how I feel about them. Like, if there was a, you know, if Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic went out there and had a hologram Kurt Cobain, I'd have to go see it, but I don't know how I'd feel about it until I actually saw it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like,
it's not the same, but it's the closest you could get. So, but it does. I don't know. It's cool. I like the technology. The technology's cool, but at the same time, like I said, it looks a little creepy. But
who are we talking about this hologram thing? I can't recall. I mean, was it Vivian Campbell? No, I don't think so. Oh, man, this is going to drive me crazy now. But anyways, yeah, it might have been Vivian. I don't know. I can't remember. Because, of course, they do the last in line thing. Oh, I know who it was. Ripper Owens.
Oh, okay.
Because, he was, if you want to hear about the hologram thing, go back and check that out. And, you know, like he said, he's like, hey, man, this is for fans, you know, of Ronnie that never got a chance to see him. So,
yeah, I don't know what goes into all these things. I know that, you know, kind of, you know, out of format for us, Amy Winehouse, there was supposed to be a hologram tour for her and they canceled it because there was like too much going wrong with it. And it was just like too much of an undertaking.
And I wonder if it's like just still thing in the middle of the stage, like it doesn't move around.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ronnie was the kind of guy that moved around the stage and did the devil horns and the whole thing. So, anyways, well, final thing here for you. Speaking of, Ronnie James Dio going to Ozzy, kind of,
kind of go hand in hand. I just kind of picked this up, Meltdown, because I know you're a big vinyl guy. And there was just an announcement that there's going to be an Ozzy Osbourne Diary of a Madman 3D vinyl, which. Not sure when you can pick it up. Not really sure what that means. It looks like it's just a reissue of the album on vinyl with like a 3D cover or something like that. So I don't know if that's something you'd add to your collection because you like the original, right?
Yeah, but these things, first of all, I think this thing's like $250 or $230.
Something like that.
And it's limited edition, which is kind of cool, right? Yeah, I think that when you put this record on your turntable, a hologram of Ozzy comes up.
I've seen that. Now, like the story doesn't happen, by the way. Well, here's the thing. There's like they do have records that are supposed to have like this holographic image that come up when you play them.
Right, but I'm talking about Ozzy actually standing on your turntable.
Right. Like, yeah. No, I got you. But I'm saying like there is. Some records like that, so I don't know if that's supposed to be like, you know, it's not like the Ronnie James Dio thing where he's singing and moving around, but
I don't know what this is all about. I'll have to dig into this a little bit more, but I mean, if I could get it for a decent price, I'd probably try to get it just because it's kind of supposed to be limited.
Yeah.
So,
and it is Diary of a Madman, so
arguably one of Ozzy's best.
Yeah,
I mean, arguably.
Yeah.
I mean, the first two records that Ozzy put out, I mean, are just classics.
Yeah.
They're, you know, almost flawless. I mean, Randy Rhoads and just so good. So anyways, yeah, we'll just see about that. All right, man, give your socials. I got to punch out.
All right, Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, at Meltdown WRIF, at Talking Rock with One, and of course on WRIF.com. You can check out all the past interviews. If you've made it this far, 5-star review. I'm begging. Hey, there you go. Write a review. Give us 5-star rating, the whole thing. And we do appreciate that. And there was one other thing I wanted to add in there as well. Oh, that's right. More guests coming up. I've got some really cool stuff. I just did an interview the other day with Tommy Vext from the band Bad Wolves. Really great interview. So that's coming up here, and we got some other ones in the works right now that I haven't done yet. But I'm going to have a couple of legendary bassists in studio coming up next week as we talk right now. So hopefully I didn't jinx that one.
Well, you didn't give it any names, so I think maybe you're safe.
There you go.
Yeah.
So anyways, thanks so much for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. Until next time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.